Morning. Our first reading is from Exodus 24, verses 12 to 18. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and stay here, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law commandments I have written for their instruction." Then Moses set out with Joshua his aide, and Moses went up on the mountain of God. He said to the elders, "Wait here for us until we come back to you. Aaron and Hur are with you, and anyone involved in a dispute can go to them." When Moses went up on the mountain, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai. For 6 days the cloud covered the mountain, and on the seventh day the Lord called to Moses from within the cloud. To the Israelites, the glory of the Lord looked like a consuming fire on top of the mountain. Then Moses entered the cloud as he went on up the mountain, and he stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Our second reading is from Matthew 17, verses 1 to 9. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah, talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and minds be acceptable to you, O God. Amen. I love hills. There's something about them that speaks deep within my soul. They give me a sense of grounding in Tūranga Waiwai, a sense of belonging and identity. Growing up in the hills of Johnsonville, the north of Wellington, I couldn't escape them. They are a constant backdrop that nurture and protect the communities nestled in their wrinkles and folds. They are landmarks. Tarikaka, commonly known as Mount Kaukau, is one such wayfinder. When I'm somewhere without hills, I'm completely lost, and I realise that I rely heavily on them to get my bearings. My theme today is head for higher ground. What does this make you think of? Do you instinctively think of our safety briefing, directing us to Pukeahu in case of a potential tsunami? Or do you think instead of something more internal, perhaps a sense of escapism and enlightenment? A chance to get away from it all, from the madding crowds, and find a sense of peace and tranquility. Today marks Transfiguration Sunday, one of the miracles that Jesus depicted in different parts of the Bible, amongst cures, resurrections, and the ability to control aspects of nature. It is an event that features in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and also in 2 Peter. This is a key moment, one in which Jesus is both the here and now, and the link between heaven and earth. It is also important as it supports the idea of Jesus as being the Son of God, as we hear through the commandment in the reading from Matthew. "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." This last imperative highlights the link between God and mere mortals, that God is working through and with Jesus. The reading from Exodus tells another key story, that of Moses and the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, and his role as the leader of his people. God calls Moses up the mountain to receive the tablets inscribed with the commandments and asks the Israelite to wait for him. Just as in Matthew, God speaks to Moses upon the mountain, where he then stays for a good while longer. The people must have been getting pretty impatient after waiting 40 days and 40 nights. A key link between these two readings from Exodus and Matthew is their setting on mountains. I did a bit of research and was astonished to discover that mountains are mentioned over 500 times throughout the Bible. Here are a few key examples that I found. From Psalm 121, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? From Micah 4, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and people will stream to it. And from Matthew 5, now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. The more I read into this, the more the link made sense. They are a reference and connection to the landscape in which the stories are set and told. Some of these mountains are referenced time and time again in different parts of the scriptures. Mount Ararat, where Noah's Ark finally came to rest, Mount Sinai, where Moses accepted the Ten Commandments, and the Mount of Olives, where Jesus prayed before his arrest and crucifixion. This is an important storytelling feature. By mentioning instantly recognizable landmarks and connecting people to their local area, the writer ensures that his story will be told for generations to come. Mountains and hills are important for establishing who we are and where we are. In many different cultures, mountains have spiritual energies. In Māori culture, many of our maunga are seen as living, breathing beings who appear in different stories and legends. Mountains give a sense of strength and are a constant and unmoving being. Throughout history, castles and fortifications have been constructed on high points to give the best outlook on the neighbouring areas. Māori constructed pā using the same principles, using maunga as strategic strongholds to ward off other iwi and hapu. Monasteries and retreats were built in high mountains as a way of being closer to higher powers and as points of refuge. Here in Aotearoa, leading to higher ground is tightly interwoven with our sense of adventure and getting out and exploring, and an important part of our tourism industry. We enjoy the climb, as we know that the reward will be worth it. The amazing views, the blood pumping through our veins, the feeling of elation at getting to the top. Mountains feature heavily in our language, music, and popular culture, and there are a number of popular songs that feature mountains in some form. Ain't No Mountain High Enough, Rocky Mountain High, Misty Mountain Hop. Stevie Wonder's Higher Ground, released in May 1973, not long before he suffered a near-fatal accident. The chorus speaks of reincarnation and of gaining knowledge, wisdom, and experience. I'm so darn glad he let me try it again, because my last time on earth I lived a whole world of sin. I'm so glad that I know more than I knew then, gonna keep on trying till I reach my highest ground. We speak of reaching new heights, being at peak performance, being on top of the world, pushing, reaching, and trying to be better. We build to reach the sky, race to reach the top. This constant human desire to be bigger, bolder, and braver. Sir Edmund Hillary scaled the heights of Mount Everest with his supporter Tenzing Norgay in 1953, claiming the title as the first person to do so. Even our churches are our attempt to be closer to God and to heaven. In our own quiet places of reflection, we are still, as Stevie Wonder says, trying to reach our highest ground. But what goes up must also come down. The experience on the mountaintop is only part of the story. Often it's harder going down than coming up. That surging adrenaline starts to wane and the sense of expectation fades and the wind begins to pick up. You hastily add more layers to protect you from the elements. You can't stay up there for too long. In the reading from Matthew, Peter offers to set up shelters for Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. But once they've seen Jesus' transfiguration, something has changed in them. Once we've seen Jesus in his resplendent glory, we too are changed. We're led back down the mountain again with Jesus and his disciples, back down to the people who are the center of his ministry. His disciples know that their faithfulness and commitment will be challenged in a period that will ultimately culminate in disaster. Just as in the passage from Exodus, Moses can't stay on Mount Sinai forever. His people are reliant on him for courage and leadership. It's not the final destination, merely a stopping point on the journey. Sometimes we have to go up the mountain, not by choice, but by force. In this case, head for higher ground isn't a suggestion for a nice sunny day hike. It's a command. We have to escape from danger to a place of safety, often with very little warning. This week, Aotearoa has been battered by Cyclone Gabrielle, leaving scenes of complete devastation in her wake. My auntie, who lives in Taradale, Hawke's Bay, spoke of having to evacuate to a nearby hill when the stream near their house threatened to flood, and the worry of my uncle being stuck in Hastings. We've seen rivers rise to unprecedented levels in the blink of an eye, entire towns and settlements cut off by floodwaters, and stories of those who have lost their homes, possessions, and in some cases even loved ones. Please keep the communities of Te Rāwhiti and Hawke's Bay in your prayers this week, and look out for ways that you can help. Sometimes, the descent is harder than the climb. Communities returning to sift through their lives and begin rebuilding. Just as Jesus' disciples and Moses, as they make their way down the mountain, so too must we be transfigured in our outlook and mindsets. I saw an interesting One News article entitled, "Climate Change No Longer About Penguins, It's About Us." Climate change is knocking loudly at our own doors. It's no longer something that's just happening to other people in far-off countries. We need to rethink our response to this growing crisis. It's not going to be easy, but we are vulnerable. We can no longer be complacent. As God commands Jesus' disciples, we need to be prepared to listen and to act. We need to come down from our high mountains and work together. As Elizabeth Palmer states, if we are grounded in the story of the Transfiguration, then we can look ahead to the glory of the risen Christ. I'd like to finish my reflection with a poem written by Malcolm Guite entitled Transfiguration. For that one moment, in and out of time, on that one mountain where all moments meet, the daily veil that covers the sublime in darkling glass fell dazzled at his feet. There were no angels full of eyes and wings, just living glory full of truth and grace. The love that dances at the heart of things shone out upon us from a human face. And to that light, the light in us leaped up. We felt it quicken somewhere deep within. A sudden blaze of long-extinguished hope trembled and tingled through the tender skin. Nor can this blackened sky, this darkened scar, eclipse that glimpse of how things really are. Amen.